imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky.
Imagine some of you don't like that song and wondering why in the world I would show it in church. But the fact is that song came out in 1971. It was at the height of the Vietnam War. I mean, we were still involved in it. And when John Lennon wrote that song and recorded it, it became a hit almost overnight. And it's not just because the simplicity of the melody and the piano and the way that he sang the song, but I think deep down, that song spoke to a lot of people and said, listen, there is a lot of war, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of hate, there's a lot of anger that's going on in this world, and the main contributor to that are the things that you're holding so dear, things like religion, things like our nation. The values that you hold, you know, they're the things that are causing all this war. And I tell you, to some extent, I think I'd have to agree with John Lennon on that. There is certainly true that throughout the history of mankind, there have been a lot of wars fought over the name of religion, or a lot of wars fought in the name of a country or a state or because of values that we have. I mean, just this last couple weeks, we've seen how the United States did something that's causing in Kabul this incomplete uprising where they're going and they're killing an American people, and it's all because of what? Because of religion. Because of what supposedly we've done to their religion, something that they hold sacred and dear. And so there's this war going on. And there always has been war going on. Today we're going to start a new a sermon series. Now, I kind of sketched this sermon series out. Gosh, it must have been early in the fall of last year, and I thought, you know, this is going to be a great sermon series. There's so many groups in our church that are studying world religions, and there's this really cute bumper sticker that kind of shows all the different world religions are represented on there, and wouldn't it be a great thing to do a sermon series on this bumper sticker? But as the time has drawn closer to doing this, here's the Here's the bumper sticker. I'm sure you've seen it. I see it all the time on cars. It's a very popular bumper sticker that you'll see all the time. And I started getting really nervous about this bumper sticker. I started getting really nervous about preaching on this. Because preaching on the topic of world religions and the place of religions and the place of Christianity, I'm telling you, we're talking about some really serious stuff here. And not that what we normally preach on isn't serious stuff, but this will hit home to a lot of people. I pray that God will use this sermon series to tell you some things about Him and about other people that I think are going to be beneficial to you. But the main message of this bumper sticker is actually the same main message of that song that John Lennon wrote back in 1971, Imagine. And it's basically at this. You know, there's all these different religions. There's all these different paths to God. We all think that we have the truth, and yet none of us really has the truth. If any one of those religions is favored more than the other, it certainly doesn't seem that way. I mean, if you look at the bumper sticker, it's saying, listen, they're all about the same. It's the same thing. All paths lead to God. All the prophets of God are kind of the same too. You've got Muhammad, you've got Jesus Christ, you've got all the different Buddha and Confucius, all these guys, they were just prophets trying to find God. They're all the same. And if we could just imagine with your lighter up in the air a time when there is no religion, when there's no anything, where you could just live in the brotherhood of mankind, just think of how awesome that would be. And let me tell you, the bumper sticker is not the first time we've heard this. And John Lennon wasn't the first time we've heard this. Actually, this philosophy goes back a long time. As a matter of fact, if you go back to ancient India, you'll find something very, very similar to this. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but there's an old Indian saying about the blind men and the elephant. Have you heard about this? And the blind men each goes around the elephant and they try to find what the elephant is and to describe the elephant, but they only get to touch a different piece of the elephant. Back in the 1800s, a guy named John Godfrey Sachs wrote a poem about this, and this is how the poem goes. It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall. The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, ho, what have we here? So very round and smooth and sharp, to me 'tis mighty clear, the wonder of an elephant is very like a spear. The third approached the animal and happened to take the squirming trunk within his hands, and boldly up he spake. I see, quoth he, the elephant is very like a snake. The fourth reached out his eager hand and felt about the knee. What most this wondrous beast is like is mighty plain, quoth he. 'Tis clear enough the elephant is very like a tree. The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, e'en the blindest man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact who can, this marvel of an elephant is very like a fan. The sixth, no sooner had begun about the beast to grope, when seizing upon the swinging tail that fell within the scope, I see, quoth he, the elephant is very like a rope. And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right, and all were in the wrong. And there's a moral to the story. So oft in theologic wars, the disputants, I ween, rail on in utter ignorance of what each other mean, and prate about an elephant not one of them has seen. That's basically what John Lennon is saying, or what the coexist bumper sticker is saying, or what the Indian parable of the elephant is saying, is that none of us knows, really, what God looks like. None of us knows whether or not the tail is the elephant or the trunk or the wall. We're all just kind of groping in the dark. And see, what John Lennon is saying, you need to understand that. You need to understand, for world peace, for the brotherhood of mankind, you need to understand that none of us knows what the elephant looks like. And you need to understand that we need to live in peace. And the only way we're ever going to live in peace is for you to just completely give up everything that you believed in your whole entire life and just believe in what I believe in, which is there's nothing to believe in. But there's a fallacy in that argument, isn't there? I mean, to say, well, really, the only way we're all going to come together is if all of you just drop everything you've believed in your whole entire life and just follow me and what I believe in, then we'll be okay. But see, there's a fallacy in that argument, a big one. Because many philosophers have looked at this parable about the elephant and they've said, wait a minute. The problem with the parable is that there's somebody in the room who isn't blind who can see what the elephant looks like. And only the person who's not blind can see the elephant. But all of us are blind. None of us knows. Even John Lennon doesn't know. And that's why when he says, you just need to give peace a chance in the brotherhood of mankind and put away all your religion and everything like that, and we'll be okay, it doesn't work. The argument is false. He is not the one that's not blind in the room. As a matter of fact, by telling us that we can't do that, he's creating a moral absolute. He's saying there are no moral absolutes, but the fact is, that is a moral absolute. Because he will still come into conflict with people like me, who quite frankly like my religion, who quite frankly like heaven and hell, who quite frankly like living a Christian life and know that that causes conflict in this world, but I'm not going to change. And I don't care what John Lennon says. I'm not going to. That's the problem with the argument. Does he honestly believe that if we would completely throw away everything, all the values in our system, and all just get in the brotherhood of mankind and sit around in a circle and sing Kumbaya, that all of a sudden we'd be in peace? No. Mankind is sinful. We know that. And he has no more claim on what the elephant looks like than any of us. And that's the problem with the argument. I've thought about, you know, which part of the elephant I think he's attaching to. It's kind of in the back, underneath the tail. And it's nice and warm and cozy in there, but it's not the truth. It's not the elephant. So what do we do? How do we live in a world? How do we coexist with everybody? And all of us face this. All of us have people in our work, at our school, people that we come into contact that are just like, well, you Christians, you just think you're so superior, but you're just one of the many world religions. Nothing great about you. How do you deal with that? Well, to deal with that, I'd like to go back to Ephesus. Because Ephesus was a city that Paul planted on his missionary journeys. And when Paul was in Ephesus, he noticed that it was a very, very much of a metropolitan city. When you went to Ephesus at the time of Paul, there were Jews and there were Gentiles. There were people following just about every religion you can possibly imagine, living in Ephesus at the time. And yet, Paul came in and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has a message to the Ephesians, and he has a message to us this morning, and the message is from Ephesians 2, our reading this morning. I want to start at verse 14. I want you to listen to what Paul writes in the context of coexist. He says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, and thus make peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." You see, what Paul is saying is that there's only one way to peace. And if we're all going to live together as a brotherhood, we need to understand that there is a difference. Jesus is the claim of peace. He is the one that we claim. He is the only one of all the prophets, think about this, he's the only one of all the prophets up there who claimed that he was God. All the rest of them claimed they knew how to live, how they could seek God, but only Jesus Christ was the one that claimed that he was God. And you say, well, that's a pretty remarkable claim, but he's also the only one that was able to prove it by rising again from the dead. He is the only one that claimed he was God and is the only one of all the world religions that actually proved it by raising again from the dead, rising again from the dead. But there's one more important point that we need to understand. The reason why we can't coexist is because each of us have embedded within us deep theological leanings. We know who we are. We know our culture. We feel comfortable with that. In all the other religions, you have to live that culture in order to get right with God. But Christianity is a bit different. Christianity is the only religion where God forgives us our sins at the beginning, at the outset, and says, listen, you're freed from the law. You are freed. So now go and live in harmony with your mankind. You don't have to live a certain way to be in peace with other people. Paul said, to the Jews, I was a Jew. To the Gentiles, I was a Gentile. God is the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one that claimed he was God, the only one that rose again, and the only one that forgives our sins to give us the freedom to go and live with other people. He is the only one, if you will, that became an elephant and came and lived among us so we could see and touch and respond to and say, that's what God is. He's the only one. And what Paul is saying to the Ephesians is that truth is the only truth that's going to bring people together. Because in that truth, if you live that way, then you are no longer trying to live a certain way to get right with God. You're living with God you're living a way to respond to God. And the early church, they responded to God in some amazing, amazing ways. As a matter of fact, the pagan emperors said that the Christian church was kinder to their enemies than the enemies were kind to their enemies. When you realize that Jesus Christ has saved you, it frees you up to show kindness to other people. John Lennon wrote this song because he had such a strong desire that there be world peace. And there's a movement out there that says, man, world peace is where it's at. You got to find peace, and that's the only way. And the reason why it resonated so strongly with him is because deep inside each and every one of us, all these world religions identify a need within mankind, a need that needs to be filled, a need that is filled in Jesus Christ. But without Jesus Christ, you have to find that need filled, and all these world religions fill that need. So this sermon series, we're going to talk about what it is that each of these religions are trying to respond to, what is the need, and how Jesus Christ responds to that need. And I'm not going to downplay, I'm not going to say evil things about the other religions, but we are going to talk about them. And I tell you, I'm a little bit tremulous to talk about it. It's a big subject. John Lennon talked about a time when we could all live together as mankind and we could put away all the wars and the countries and everything that causes divisions. But if you step back and think about it, what John Lennon is looking for actually will happen someday in the term of heaven. Someday we will all come together as mankind in heaven. Those believers will be gathered on the last day and we will live that great life that God has promised to us because he's redeemed us in Jesus Christ. That is a great day, but it will never happen on this earth. On this earth, we have to deal with all the other stuff and all the other law and all the other worldviews and all the other philosophies. But Jesus Christ still redeems us. Jesus Christ still loves us. Jesus Christ exists in us. In his name, amen.